Yeah, that's Hard Fi with Living for the Weekend kicking off the Adam and Joe radio sports show here on XFM this Saturday afternoon. How you doing, Joe?
I'm fine, thanks, Adam. And hello, listeners. Thanks for joining us. We're here with you for the next 2 hours until 3 o'clock, and we've got some great music from bands such as Oasis, The Foo Fighters, Green Day, Supergrass, Block Party coming up in just this hour. We're going to have a competition crap commentary corner. We've got Pretty Woman special editions to give away.
Wow, what's special about it?
I don't know. They come with a free prostitute.
A free lady? Fantastic.
They don't. Of course, you can call 0871-222-1049 if you want to enter any of our competitions, and text us at any point on 83XFM.
We've got competitions galore this week, don't we?
Yeah, we're going to have... Are we going to have four competitions?
No, we can't have four.
We're
going to
have Ditties in the Dock. Yeah?
Yeah, well, yeah, if we think of something.
If we think of something. We're going to have Crap Commentary Competition coming up pretty soon. We're going to have Bad Accent. Has that got a title, that competition?
Bad Accent Competition?
Bad Accent Box.
Don't know. Bad Accent Box!
We're going to open the Bad Accent Box.
Brilliant.
See if you can guess who's doing the bad accent.
Yeah, because a few weeks ago I asked if anyone knew the Frasier episode where Daphne's old boyfriend Clive turns up. And someone very kindly texted in and told me exactly which one, so I went out and bought it. Obviously, that's not the accent that I'm going to be using this week, but I do want you to... I do want to play...
But that's reignited your passion for bad accents.
Yeah, yeah. I want to play Clive because I've forgotten how bad it was, the accent in Frasier. It's unbelievable. So I'll play that a bit later on before we play the bad accent competition. And I want to talk to you about your XFM party.
Yep, I went to the XFM big night out last Saturday night.
Big night out?
Yeah, it was extraordinary.
Brixton Academy?
Yeah.
Is that the first time you've been out to a young person's shindig for about 6 years?
No.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
I'm just jealous because I don't go out to those things anymore. Yeah. So I want to hear all about it. Anyway, let's play some more music. This is the Dead 60s. Yeah, come on. That's the Dead 60s with Riot on the Radio. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. So, man, tell me about your party.
It wasn't my party. I just happened to go to the XFM Big Night Out last Saturday night. And Adam and me don't usually do that sort of thing, do we, Adam? Because we're only here one day a week. We don't usually hear about these things. But it was at the Academy.
Yeah.
Right round the corner from my house. So I went.
And it was amazing. Academy.
Have you seen The Matrix?
The Matrix?
Yeah.
With Keanu Reeves.
The Matrix.
Yeah, he gets sucked into a kind of a computer world.
Yeah, but you know Zion?
Yes.
Do you know they were always having a big party in Zion?
Yeah.
That's what it was like.
Really? With people with dreadlocks and stuff?
No one with dreadlocks. But everybody, it was basically, it was rammed. There were thousands of people there. There was no room to move.
Yeah.
And to me, that's exciting.
Wow, that's terrifying to
me. Yeah, it was slightly terrifying in terms of health and safety.
But what, were you enjoying being pushed up against the young ladies?
Yes. Yes. There was a very, very narrow corridor to get to the bar.
Yeah.
Basically involved rubbing up against about 20 people in a row.
So you just kept on getting everyone drinks the whole night?
It's not true. That wasn't even going through my head. That would be going through your head, Adam. It wasn't going through mine. But it was amazing. Every single area had been turned into a dance floor. Were you there, Xanthi? Xanthi, our assistant, was there. People were dancing everywhere. All sorts of different styles of music. Young people are into hip-hop. All the different musics.
Dog bash.
Dog bash. And it was amazing. And the band were amazingly good. And Alex Zane DJ'd and his silly assistant Ashley did stupid dancing.
In his monkey suit?
He wasn't wearing a monkey suit, but he was obviously off his trolley.
Really?
And dancing in front of, what, 4,000 or 5,000 people? Maybe? And loving it. I envied him. And it proves that, you know how you can be at a rock concert and you can think, man, I wish I was up there. It's not to do with the talent of the performer. It's just the fact that he's up there. Because to me, Ashley was an amazing rock star dancing like that.
Right.
Sweating. Yeah.
You could have been up there. They would have had you up there, man.
I wasn't asked, was I? I tell you, the only thing that was bad about that night...
What?
...was the bar staff.
Rude?
There were about five bars dotted around the Academy, and there was one person per bar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the crowds... It literally took about 45 minutes to get a thing of beer.
To me,
that's silly. I mean, are they doing that to stop people from getting really drunk? Or are they doing it because they just want to make a 15th of the profit they could make?
Well, I guess it's a bit of both, really, isn't it?
Do you think? People couldn't have been any drunker.
Surely they can't take into account the fact that they don't want to get people wasted.
In that case, management of the Academy, you are losing a lot of money.
There's got to be an easy way of doing it. The thing that takes so long is that they decant all the lager, don't they?
Well, they should just hand it out in cans, you're saying.
Well, they've got to figure out some way.
People bite cans, rip, slash each other and stuff like
that. What about this? Plastic.
It's like feeding monkeys.
Plastic cans for lager.
Insane toddlers.
Is there a reason you can't have that?
A plastic can for lager?
Yeah, like a plastic bottle, basically.
Man, keep that to yourself. Yeah, they give beer in plastic bottles, don't they? Yeah, but obviously otherwise Ashley would have been bottled to death within seconds.
Yeah.
For safety reasons. But yeah, plastic cans.
What's wrong with that? You know, because that's a part, that's an intrinsic
part of
the rock and roll
experience.
That could
be your fortune, man.
The plastic bottle battle.
Plastic bottle battle. Well, there you go. I think the I think you should come to the next one, Adam.
I'd love to. Do we know when there is one?
Do we know who's playing?
Who was playing at the last one?
Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
Oh, yeah, and they were good, weren't they?
They were really good. I don't really understand that sort of music.
No.
But they sounded very, very good indeed.
They got guitars and
they sound a bit like the Jesus and Mary Chain to me.
That's correct, they do.
Yeah, with a little bit of what's the guy that does, oh, that Texan guy. Oh, man, I'll think about it. I don't know. But, you know, a little bit of, Ry Cooder in there or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've gone a bit more folky recently, haven't they, the BRMC?
He's the guy that's in all the David Lynch films, you know, with the big quiff.
Oh.
Does the songs for them.
Yeah, I know the guy you mean.
What's that guy?
Chris Isaak.
Chris Isaak. Touch of Chris Isaak.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, the guy at the NME Awards a few years ago? That's one of my favourite bits of TV. After they'd got some award or other, I think it was the drummer, just stood there, he wouldn't leave the stage, and he just stared everyone out. And then Bill Bailey, who was hosting, tried to sort of say, all right, mate, off you go. And the guy wouldn't leave, he wouldn't leave.
Wow.
And he just kept on staring, trying to freak everyone's minds. But everyone was just going, get off, you ludicrous loser. And he wouldn't, he just wouldn't go. It turned into a sort of art statement. But he was so afraid and he was shaking with fear that the art statement got slightly blended in with, a kind of...
just frozen terror.
Loser statement. Yeah. But it was good. I sort of respected him for it.
Hey, let's do a crap commentary corner next.
Okay.
But before that, rock me, Adam Deus.
Okay. Here's an oldie but goodie off the XFM playlist from The Damned.
Ladies and gentlemen, how do?
Okay. That's The Damned with Love Song. That brings back memories of being pushed around by people in winkle pickers with bird's nest hair.
Yeah.
In the good old days. Okay. So, I've got to get the jingle. Phil, man, Phil.
Hi. This is Joe. I'm Phil-in. I like Phil-in. Phil. I'm not very good at filling, am I? Come on!
Okay, I'm there. Fill a tiny bit more.
Phil, my name is Joe. My name is Joe. I'm filling.
Okay,
Phil,
stop.
Phil, on Galaxy.
I'm going to call you Phil from now on.
Competition time. You could win a DVD or tickets to a show. You just never know. So sharpen up your brain and get ready to play.
Wow, that's exciting. It's time for Crap Commentary Corner. Or competition, it changes from week to week.
Corner.
And we're going to play you an excerpt from a commentary from a recently released DVD. You've got to tell us who is speaking and what film they're commentary-tating on. It's very, very easy this week. And in fact, I'd say this week, it's a lady competition.
Really?
For ladies. Because the man who's talking on the DVD is very sexy.
Oh, okay. So you're saying it'll appeal to ladies?
It'll appeal to ladies, and the prize will appeal to ladies, because it's the collector's edition, the 15th anniversary. Can you believe it's 15 years since we were mildly amused by Pretty Woman? It's the special anniversary edition, which includes such special features as the Rap Party live event.
What?
The Pretty Woman tour in Los Angeles. What's that?
What is that?
That's just walking around the streets of LA with a brosie. Seeing what business she gets.
That sounds good.
A 1990 production featurette.
That sounds good.
And the song Wild Women Do, performed by Natalie Cole. So there you go, that's good. But ladies love that film. You know, we can't talk about this really objectively, because it's a film programmed for ladies. They love it.
I love it too.
Do you?
I kind of love it. I like the bit where she laughs, where she does her Julia Roberts laugh. You know, when he gets out the necklace, and he says, look, I've got you this, and then he snaps it shut just before she's about to take it out, and she goes,
a big horsey laugh.
Yeah.
Like Keira Knightley. Women with big horsey laughs do very well in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the prize. The phone number is 0871-222-1049. 0871-222-1049. If you can tell us who this is commentating on what film.
Oh, it's amazing. It was miraculous. It's a dream come true. Just great stuff. Great directing. Look at that beginning. Wonderful. What marvellous titles, what marvellous beginning, what purity. This is a great sequence. I love this. Look at that. Look at that shot.
Wow.
He likes it.
He really likes it.
He enjoys it. So we have one more.
Okay.
0871 222 1049 if you want to win the Pretty Woman anniversary special edition, and you can tell us who's talking about what movie.
Yeah, you've got to be you've got to get it absolutely right, because it is easy.
Yeah, it is easy.
Okay, here's another one.
That is pure simplicity and purity at its best. Marvellous. Marvellous. Tremendous. Wonderful. And look at that marvellous, simple, impressive rocket. It's terrific stuff, this. Look at this. Wonderful. Wonderful stuff.
Marvellous. Simple, impressive rocket. That's what the ladies say. Purity at its best. Who is that? That's so easy.
That is so easy. 0871 222 1049
We'll see what guesses we get in during the next record. If by in the unlikely event that no one's getting it, we'll play another clip.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll go to the phones. 0871 222 1049 Call now. XFM.
I've got a hunger twisting my stomach into knots.
Good stuff. Oh, I'm glad you played that one.
I don't know what that was, because I pressed the wrong button.
It was the sound of settling.
I think it's the sound of settling.
What? The sound of settling?
Maybe we could give someone a prize if they could tell us who that was.
Text us in if you know what that track was.
It was all right, though.
83XFM. It was brilliant. I've always wanted to hear a song about the sound of settling.
His stomach is in knots. All right, so listen, we've got a couple of people on the line now who think they might know who that extremely easy crack commentary was.
Should we just remind people with a brand new clip?
Absolutely. Here goes.
Then I suddenly appear. The ladies always love my legs. I don't know why. They always thought I had sexy legs. What a shot. Isn't this great? Look at this. Isn't this marvellous? Wonderful. This is a brilliant fight. The whole film is a masterpiece.
An unambiguous thumbs up from that actor, referring to the movie he's in. But of course, the movie that he's talking about, and his name is a mystery that's going to be solved by our callers.
Absolutely. There was some really obvious music clues in there as well.
Yeah, there were some big clues. So who's on the line?
Who have we got, Santhi?
We've got Fred.
Fred. Hello, Fred.
Hi.
Now, Fred, you can't change your mind just because you might have heard extra clues.
Really?
Yeah.
Shoot,
were you about to change your mind, Fred?
I was actually, yeah.
What was your guess that you originally called in with?
I was thinking Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart,
good
right.
Good guess, English and fruity.
Which film?
One of the Star Trek films, possibly Star Trek Nemesis, something like that.
Now, what made you think it was Nemesis, specifically?
He mentioned a spaceship,
And there's a spaceship, there are spaceships in Nemesis.
To be honest, I just pulled a Star Trek film from thin air, really. I just thought generic,
I don't think even Patrick Stewart would have anything good to say about Star Trek Nemesis. I'm afraid that's wrong.
But you've changed your mind, haven't you, since?
Yes.
And well, you know, you can't say it, but do you know who it is?
I was thinking maybe Brian.
La 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 la. The sound of settling. You can't say
it. You teased him into that, though, Joe. That's your fault.
I did. Listen, do you want a copy of Pretty Woman?
Oh, go on.
Are you sure? What about... There's also a copy of Chicago.
Chicago?
Chicago.
Chicago.
It won 6 Oscars.
Give him Chicago.
As a consolation prize. As a punishment.
As a punishment.
You get Chicago as a punishment. Yeah. It's 2 discs.
Thanks for phoning in, though. We really appreciate it. That was Fred, right? Thanks, Fred. Who else have we got on the line?
Dominic.
How are you doing, Dom? Can I call you Dom?
Call me Dom. That's fine.
Can I call you Domsky?
You can call me whatever you want.
Can I call you Dominatrix?
Okay.
I prefer my personal friends to call me that.
The Domster. So, Dombo, what do you think? Who do you think it was?
I think it was Brian Blessed in Flash Gordon.
Of course it was.
Well, now, how did you pick that up, Dom?
Because last time I listened to your show, Joe was going on about how he'd organised a screening of Flash Gordon at Somerset House, and he loves Flash Gordon, so... Yeah. It's the sort of thing that I think he would have watched the commentary on it as well.
I did. We were giving them away last week. And I nicked one, took it straight home, listened to it. It's a fantastic commentary. He's so enthusiastic, Brian Blessed. You know what? I think someone should put him on screen opposite Tom Baker. Can you imagine?
He sounds kind of subdued, though, in that commentary. Like, he was told to keep his voice down. Yeah.
Really?
Well, in that, he wasn't big and booming.
He was big and booming enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, Domsky, congratulations. That was absolutely correct. Thanks for phoning in, and Pretty Woman... is on its way to your house for a good time.
Pretty Woman's a fantastic movie.
Could you sent it to my mum's house instead?
We could do if you want. Yeah, yeah. If you give Xanthi your address, then we'll sort that out for you. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Dominic. Thanks for listening.
Bye, Dom. Hey, can we play one more Brian Blessed clip?
Sure, why not?
I love it when people talk about dwarves. Here's Brian Blessed talking about dwarves.
And all those gorgeous dwarves. Wonderful dwarves. I mean, what are their names? Tiny and Mike and John and Rusty and Richard.
Tiny and Mike.
Tiny and Mike and Rusty and Richard. Marvellous dwarf.
Bingo and Bom Bom. Wow. He's great.
Yeah, he is great. He's fantastic.
Well, that was very enjoyable. Let's listen to some more music right now. Here's the Foo Fighters. That was the Foo Fighters with Resolve, and do you like the way I said that?
Yeah.
Resolve.
Yeah. Hey, thanks to everybody who's texted in with the name of the song we played accidentally before that. It was, of course, The Sound of Settling by Death Cab for Cutie.
Obviously Death Cab for Cutie!
And there's going to be a prize going to... What was the nice person's name that called in?
Mark Spool.
Thanks, Mark Spool. Yo with Ghoul.
He's going to get a copy of Pretty Woman as well, is he?
No, he can't, because I want to nick that one.
Yeah, you're going to get something. We're not quite sure what it is.
Yeah. Paul Weller, how about that?
Yeah, those are for Ditties in the Dark.
Oh, it's all too confusing. There's so many prizes.
One, two, three, four, five. Yeah. So, listen, is that CD with Brian Blessed still in the player?
It's on top here.
Pop it in there, because I've had a difficult week, listeners. I don't want to turn this programme into Watchdog, but my Sky Plus box broke. Right? Or no, I was trying to... I don't know if people have got Sky Plus. I do recommend it. Fantastic box that records any programme you want just with the touch of a button. I recorded Risky Business, because I haven't seen that for years. I thought, check out Risky Business again. So I tried to play it back on Sunday, but it asked me for a parental code. I thought, come on, I'm a grown man. I can watch Risky Business if I want. I tried all sorts of different codes. 1111, stuff like that. Didn't know what to do, basically. So I thought, well, I'll call the Sky support line. This was about... noon on a Sunday? I thought, I'll call the Sky support line. So I called them up, and I've recorded what you hear when you call the Sky support line on a Sunday. I think it's track 5.
Okay.
Can you play? It's a bit buzzy. Can you play track 5?
Here we go.
Your call should be answered in under 101 minutes. Thank you.
That's an unusually long wait, wouldn't you say?
101 minutes.
101 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think, well, that's probably just an aberration. 101 minutes to wait for the Skybox? I mean, that's longer than the duration of Risky Business.
1 hour, 41 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so I call back, and this is what I hear the next time I call back. Can you, if you play track 6 there?
Your call should be answered in under 105 minutes.
It's gone up.
Thank you.
It's gone up by 4 minutes.
You should have got in there while you had the chance.
What? So something funny's going on there, isn't it?
That's bad.
Has anybody ever had a longer wait on the phone there? What am I supposed to do for 101 minutes? Listening to that music they were playing as well.
That's very low quality service.
Terrible, isn't it?
Well, maybe there was a... Maybe everyone was having the same problem.
Maybe everybody wanted to watch Risky Business.
Everyone was getting locked out of the Riskals. Mm. Well, it's good that there's a parental lockout, because it is saucy.
Yeah, but you know what I'm hoping now?
What?
Someone from Sky's listening.
And they're going to...
I'll get something free.
Send you some free codes.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? Didn't you read your manual? Surely it's very simple.
No, well, you know what? Actually, the problem was very simple. You just put in the last 4 digits on the back of your smart card.
Oh. When did you figure that out, Mr. Smart Card?
You know what I did? I called the sales line, because they tell you in situations like that, call the line that's designed to sell you things, not the line that's designed to help you after you've bought them, because they're much more keen, the people at the selling line. So I called the sales number, and they talked me through it.
I must say, it was pretty ambitious to call a helpline. When has a helpline ever helped anyone with anything? You know? England.
Quite right. You know, Rip off Britain.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, let's have some more music. Now, who's this? I've got to press the right button this time. Ah, it's Supergrass.
Supergrass.
I'm turning into my dad.
It's
with low C. What were you going to say?
Nothing. Sounds like a pirate.
I am a pirate.
A sexy radio pirate.
Supergrass with Low C. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. We'll be back shortly. XFM.
Hoorah! What was that?
That was Block Party.
Hooray, this is Adam and Joe on XFM. London's 104.9. Do we still say that? It's not really London, is it? Because it's available all over the country and all over the world.
Is it? On digital?
Yeah.
Can you, you can't download our shows after the event, can you?
No, you can't. And several people have emailed and texted to complain about that. Some have emailed and, texted to thank us that it's not available.
Hey, you know what? I feel as if I should apologise to this girl last week who, emailed in to complain about my comments on what's it called, Brush with Fame.
Yeah,
Brush with Fame, which is this bad elimination
show.
You
were being very rude about it last week. I don't know if anyone was listening. Adam was being very rude about a Brush with Fame hosted by Carol Simile on ITV. You got the station wrong, didn't you? You said it was on the BBC.
She was very angry.
And
about
as we
that.
Left the studio, we got an email that said, I think it called you. It well, what did it say? It compared your manhood to a pencil,
to a needle.
To start with, a needle. Yes,
needle dick.
And then it said that she was on Brush with Fame. And that struggling portrait artists have to take any break they can, and it's wrong of you to condescend to her.
I don't think that was her point exactly. It was her point was because I had said I don't know, you know, I don't think that's why most people pick up a brush is to end up on Brush with Fame
and paint a picture of Paul Burrell.
Yeah, but
portrait
anyway,
of Paul Burrell.
She disagreed, and she said that you know, not all portrait painters are so snobby that they would turn their nose up at it. And she was trying to improve her life by appearing
You're
on the show.
You're making it worse now.
No, I'm not. I'm explaining her case.
Okay.
I'm not taking
it
the mic out.
It just feels like you're making it worse.
No, no, I felt genuinely bad that right. she was upset about it. I don't think she needed to call me needle dick and the other things she called me.
I don't know.
And it's not true either. It's
what,
not
about your dick?
No, it's not true. It's bigger than a needle. And it's much bigger. And I don't think she was right to swear at me in that way in email. But I am sorry that she was upset. And if she's listening still,
you know
which
what?
She probably isn't. But
I'm not sorry. I saw it.
It's rubbish.
It's so rubbish.
Well, the thing is, I was not getting at the people taking part. They've got every right to.
Yeah.
I hope it's fun. But it's not a good show. And
I tell you what I thought from watching the show. I thought those painters are better than this show.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, they were lowering themselves to paint a picture of Paul Burrell and be judged by Carol Smiley.
And the two art critic guys are rubbish.
Who are they?
They just, you know.
Look, we're doing it again now. She's going to email in again and complain all over again.
Well, don't. I'm sorry.
Make a comment about my dick.
Girl in Bristol.
Oh, no.
All right, what would you say about yours? Anyway, listen. In the second hour, we have...
Log dick.
you didn't need to... Anyway.
Probably say that.
Massive... Knob. What?
Play a record. You're just being rude.
I know I am. I'm sorry. I'm sorry again. I apologise again. I was going to play some bad accents to ease us into the world of bad accents, because in the second hour we'll have a bad accent competition.
Okay.
But this is the one from Frasier. Clive, Daphne's old boyfriend, turns up, and it's played by an actor called Scott Atkinson, who is clearly American, doing what he thinks is a British accent. But I think he's used Mary Poppins as his source material for finding out about the British accent from Dick Van Dyke. So I'll just play you a few moments to remind you.
Hello.
Hello.
Look at you. You look wonderful.
Oh, go on.
No, I mean it. Very pretty and warm.
Very pretty.
Very pretty.
Very pretty and warm. Do you want more?
It sounds like Mighty Boosh, the moon.
Yeah, there you go.
What brings you to Seattle?
My undying love for you. Oh, damn, I meant to lead up to that. Sorry.
No, it's all right, just a bit.
Abrupt. No, how are you? No nice place, Airveer. By the way, it is lovely. Is that the Space Needle?
Lovely?
That's how they talk in England. By the way, that is a lovely day.
No, it's all going old Stavros now, isn't it? But that's amazing, isn't it? So listen, we could turn this into a little competition for Frasier nerds. By way of saying thank you to the person that told me exactly where to find that episode. They will probably be able to complete the punchline for this little bit of dialogue here. So Clive is saying something, and then at the end, Niles turns up from the kitchen and adds a one-word little punchline to the whole thing. And if you can tell us what that is, then we'll send you a prize. But it's just an excuse to play more of Clive and his extraordinary accent. Here we go.
I remember what you told me 5 years ago, and I thought my feelings might change. 5 years is a long time. But my feelings for you haven't changed. I think about you every day, every night. And there comes a time in every man's life when he's got to summon up the courage to look a woman straight in the eye and say...
Well, don't bother guessing if you don't know it, because you won't get it. But if you are a Frasier nerd, then give us a call, 0871 222 1049, or you can text 83XFM, or you can email, of course, adamandjoe@xfm.co.uk, and tell us what Niles says, the one word that Niles says when he comes out of the kitchen after that. Should we play some music and we'll see if anyone gets that?
Yes.
Here are the Mighty Spoon. Yep, that's Spoon with a track called Monkey Feelings, which is on their new single, Sister Jack. And this is Adam and Joe on XFM. So we've had an underwhelming response to that kind of
small... the big Frasier quiz.
The big Frasier quiz, which was what does Niles say at the end of that little bit of dialogue?
We've had a couple of text entries. Nobody's calling, but we've had some text entries.
Yeah.
Does he say, Harold? I've no idea what he says. But the guy's clearly been using Steptoe and Son as his sole reference point.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Hey, speaking of... What is Harold... Oh, Harold is a Steptoe and Son thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. You better give us the answer, Adam.
Okay, I'll put,
what's
you, out of your, put you out of your misery.
And there comes a time in every man's life when he's got to summon up the courage to look a woman straight in the eye and say, cheese nips?
But that's what's-his-face coming in and interrupting.
Niles.
Niles.
I said it was
in.
Niles coming
in.
Oh,
I wasn't
in, yeah.
Listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheese nips.
Cheese nips.
Brilliant.
That's a good little payoff there. For, anyway. So that was by way of getting you into the idea of bad accents. We'll have a proper bad accent competition for you in the second part of the show. So speaking of Harold, that reminded me that, have you seen Joe Mangles back in Neighbours?
Well, it's been a big week for Neighbours. All the old cast members have been back. Since Tuesday, I think.
Who else has been back?
I don't really remember it or watch it, but I've read a lot about it, and listeners probably can tell us who's back, but as many cast members as they could get their hands on. I think everybody apart from Kylie and Jason.
Right.
Everybody of any significance.
That would be... See, I'd respect Kylie if she
did
it.
Yeah, I wonder if Craig from Check 1-2... What was he called?
Craig McLaughlin.
I wonder if he was back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. If he played a special gig, if he came back as a big rock star...
Yeah.
...and played a gig...
Yeah.
That would be... really great. Anyway, let's play some ads and then get into the second hour of our show here on XFM. XFM.
Crikey O'Reilly. It hasn't finished yet.
Shh.
It hasn't finished yet. Shh.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
I think they should have
sounded
had
like that. Tommy.
At the end there.
Listen, I've got to say hello to Adam, who's listening in Lithuania.
You've made me very happy.
Oh, if you could say hello to all my friends in London for me. I now live in Vilnius, which is the capital of Lithuania, listening to you on the net. My friends are big XFM fans, and they'll all be listening. If you would like to know what it is like here, the weather is sunny, a little chilly but beautiful. The town is beautiful, lots of old Baroque buildings and churches. That sounds nice, doesn't it?
That's a nice...
I wish I was there.
...little message.
It sounds like living in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Land.
Hello, Vilnius!
Yep. So listen, it's the London Film Festival at the moment. Very exciting.
Yeah.
I've got a press pass.
Have you?
Yeah. Ladies out there will be excited by that.
Wow.
Me, Joe Cornish, got a press pass. I can see anything I want. Yeah. So last night I went to see A Cock and Bull Story, starring Steve Coogan, Rob Brydon, David Walliams, everybody, basically.
Kelly MacDonald, she's in it.
Kelly is in it, yes, Kelly's in it. Quite a sexy sex scene with Steve Coogan.
Really?
Yes, she does not show any of her bits. Did I put that nicely?
Yes.
But she does have quite a sexy scene. And it's a good film.
Is it?
It's based on a novel called Tristan Shandy. I didn't know anything about Tristan Shandy, despite my expensive public school education. Never heard of it. But apparently it's an amazing novel from the beginning, early 1700s, I think it was written. And it's a sort of failed biography. A man that sits down, tries to write his own life story, but so much has happened in his life that he can't impose any structure on it at all.
Yeah.
It's just a chaotic mess. Bits of it are like an encyclopedia. Bits of it, it's just a random... It's a postmodern novel before there was any modernity to be post about.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's what they say in the film, actually. And the best thing about it, I do recommend people go and see it, is that in the middle of it, Stephen Fry pops up and just explains what it's about.
Uh-huh.
To the camera. He explains what Tristan Shandy was about. He explains what the film's about.
Yeah.
And then the film just carries on.
That's what you want.
And basically, the film's about the chaos of trying to impose any kind of structure on the narrative that is our lives. So it's just an excuse for this sort of chaotic film about people making a film. A bit like Truffaut's Day for Night.
Ah.
Which you might know as Les Nuits Américaines.
Yes, it
the
is.
The original title in French.
I was wondering why you didn't use the original title immediately.
Anyway, the best thing about the LFF, after that rant, is there's no adverts. Just a nice lady comes up on... I mean, the best thing about film festivals is you buy tickets to stuff you don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you've discovered an amazing gem. Other times you've wasted money and 2 hours. And are very bored. But the best thing about it is no adverts.
Right.
No trailers, just a nice lady comes up, introduces the film. Often the director and the stars are there. Bryden and Coogan and Ian Hart were there last night.
Yeah.
Did a Q&A afterwards. But any time I can go to the cinema and not see one of those Orange Wednesdays adverts.
Why have you got a problem with the Orange Wednesdays ads?
Well...
That's the one with Lenny Bush, Steve First.
Lovely Steve First. He's very good in them, obviously, because we know him. But they're terrible, aren't they? They make me want to die. And you know the thing about it, people who laugh at them, you can always tell someone who hasn't been to the cinema for 6 months, because they laugh at the Orange Wednesday adverts. And basically, the list of people who've been in them, what's the connecting factor between them? Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Sean Astin. John Cleese, Daryl Hannah, Patrick Swayze, Vern Troyer, Darth Vader. Is there a linking factor?
Well, they've had it.
Yeah. They're sort of washed up on the shores of Orange Wednesday Island.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, they have to tailor the script around whoever's available. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to explain. To make the commercial work, the Orange Wednesday's team have to be responding to this washed-up person as if they're a hot, hot celebrity.
Mm.
A hot American celebrity. But actually, they're just another kind of failed American celebrity who's washed up on the shores of Britain.
Well, they're not that fair. I mean, Spike Lee's
on. That's true. That's
and...
too harsh, isn't it? It's too harsh. But maybe, you know, like us when we did our surf commercial.
There's
a bit of a dip.
You
a bit of a dip in their careers. And I feel so, you know, I love John Cleese.
Yeah.
I think he's a genius, and I can't help but feel a bit sorry for him when he does his silly walk out of the Orange Wednesday office where they shoot it.
Yeah,
the guy goes, that funny Monty Python-y man.
Yeah.
He always says something that's supposed to be funny over the, you know, when the picture's gone and it's just the Orange Wednesday logo. Am I alone out there, listeners? Am I the only person who hates the Orange Wednesday adverts?
No, they are
irritating. Could we mobilise some kind of thing? Maybe we could write them. Someone else write them.
Well, they wouldn't be better if we wrote them.
I think they would.
You reckon?
Yes.
I don't know. It is tough, isn't it? Because the whole premise of them is supposed to be that they are deliberately squirmy and that the celebrities are getting, you know...
Why does the woman never say anything?
Because she's a woman.
The woman never says anything.
That's what it's like in filmland.
Because she's a woman, did you say?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's a comment.
Is that what it's like for women?
Apparently. They don't get to say anything in the film world. It's a disgrace. But it's a brilliant parody of that, you see. Anyway, I'm very excited to see Cock and Bull Story.
Yeah, it's good.
Why, Michael Winterbottom, isn't it?
Yes, Michael Winterbottom.
There you go. Excellent. Well, thanks very much for telling us all about that.
That's okay.
Getting,
bye.
Getting your orange things off your chest.
Great.
So should we do the crap accent competition fairly soon?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that after this, in fact. This is a track now from Maximo Park, Apply Some Pressure. Incidentally, before that, you heard The Killers with Jenny Was a Friend of Mine. Here's Maximo Park. That was good.
Maximo I would love Park. To see you undress.
Apply Some Pressure. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. Okay, it's competition time once again. Here on the show, and it's a crap accent for you. All you have to do... I'll play the jingle first, how about that?
They've only nosed up the mainframe couplet, nosed it right up!
Can you tell me what on earth that meant, and who the hell is doing this crap accent?
Wow, that's a powerful, short and strong jingle.
That's a little stab
Bang.
For you.
Yeah. A musical punch in the face.
And it sort of explains...
Play it again, can you play it again?
You want to play that one
yeah,
again?
Yeah, I couldn't quite hear what it said.
Well, it starts off with a bit of classic Don Cheadle.
Shoot.
They've only nosed up the mainframe couplet, nosed it right up!
Can you tell me what on earth that man 10, who the hell is doing this crap accent?
That man 10? Can you tell who's doing that man 10?
No, can you tell me what on earth that meant?
Oh.
Who the hell is doing this
No, but you don't say meant, do you? What do you say?
I do. I say meant. What on earth that meant?
Oh, I can't make you play it again.
No, you can't.
No. Okay. Let's get on with the competition. I'll keep my problems to myself.
So, yeah, that was Don Cheadle at the beginning there, my favourite crap accent of all time from Ocean's 11. But can you tell me who this is? I think this is a quite difficult one. You don't know who this is at all.
No, this is going to be fresh on me, and this is a phone-in competition, is it?
Yeah, I reckon so.
So 0871 222 1049. We're not sure what the prize is going to be, but whatever it is, it'll be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
Maybe we'll just give you Xanthi.
Yeah, ooh, no, come on. I think
not in that sense.
Well,
just for a day. Okay. To say nice things.
Yeah.
And look lovely.
I wouldn't mind winning that prize myself.
Hey!
Hey! Okay, now let's see, who the hell do you think this is now? And what film are they in?
Want to know how long it takes a body to rot?
Boy, do we?
Well, if they're not already rotten before they die, 8 or 9 years. Some of them Beverly Hills women, though, they'll last you 12 years, they will.
How come?
Well, the skin is so tan. It's all stretched and polished up like a bloody shoe. That'll keep the water out. And water's the thing that'll ruin a perfectly good dead body, it will. Also, they got them extra parts, you know, some of that stuff. It's not biodegradable.
Wow.
It's not biodegradable.
So that's another American actor doing an English accent.
That's very difficult.
That's hard, isn't it? Have you got any idea at all?
Nope. It doesn't sound new. It sounds quite old.
It's, I suppose, yeah, it is old. It's a good 15 years or something.
15 years? What does that make it?
Sort of early 90s.
Really?
Yeah. Do you want another little snatch?
Yeah, yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, now, here's a bloke that's been around for 35 years, I bet.
Who is he?
There's the magician, the great Blunderman. Not so great now, is he?
Hmm, and as this is a film, feature film.
Yeah.
It's in a graveyard, isn't it?
It's a little
scene.
The
scene's in a graveyard.
In a graveyard.
And that's the grave digger. What could it be? Not the Frighteners?
No.
No. Guy, 0871 222 1049, if you know what film that's from.
Well, I bet no one's going to get it, are they?
Do you think?
Well, we've got to give a good prize.
Let's open
for this,
it to texters as well, 83XFM. You could give a clue.
A clue?
Play a record. If no one's called, we'll come back with a clue.
Okay, I'll do that. Let's play... What should we play now? Oh, yeah, let's play Razorlight. This is Golden Touch. We'll be back after this and see if anyone's got any idea who that crap accent was.
Yeah. Ooga booga.
They all have to put a little special something at the end, don't they?
Yes.
That's Razorlight with Golden Touch. Okay, we've got Bill on the line. Hi, Bill, how you doing?
Hey, guys, all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. And you think you know what the crap accent is? Don't tell us yet.
Sure.
But you think you know it?
I think I know it, definitely.
Are you pretty confident?
100%.
And was it something that you immediately thought, oh, yes, I know where that is, or did you... what was your process of deduction?
It was just so bad when I first heard it. It just stuck in my memory.
Oh, that's good, because Joe didn't have a clue on that one, but
and I'm a film expert.
He's an expert.
I'm movie buff of the year.
He's got a pass.
I've got a pass to London Film Festival.
Anyway, I'll just play it once again to remind people what it was.
Want to know how long it takes a body to rot?
Boy, do we.
Well, if they're not already rotten before they die, 8 or 9 years. Some of them Beverly Hills women, though, they'll last you 12 years, they will.
How come?
Well, the skin is so tan. It's all stretched and polished up like a bloody shoe. That'll keep the water out. And water's the thing that'll ruin a perfectly good dead body, it will. Also, they got them extra parts, you know, some of that stuff. It's not biodegradable.
It's not biodegradable.
So, what do you reckon?
It's Rick Moranis.
There you go.
And the film is L.A. Story.
Of course.
Hey.
Love it. Great film.
Where the streetlights send messages to Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
it. Freeway talks to him.
Yeah. Do you remember we went to see that film, Joe?
Yes, I do.
And you said, that's magic realism. And I said, wow, you know so much about films. I didn't know what magic realism was before that.
What is magic realism?
well, it's heightened realism, isn't it? It's magic in a normal environment. It's actually something novelists use, don't they? And it was kind of fashionable in the early 90s to have quite a gritty novel, but then bits of little magic in it, usually set in some sort of slum or third world country where magic is in short supply.
That's good, man. So you see, someone's learned something today.
And I taught you about Tristram Shandy.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Except, isn't it Tristram?
Probably.
It would be nice if we knew who
for
wrote
laughter
it.
Laughter and learning. It's not a famous name. It's like Leonard Toddybridge or something.
Are you sure?
My wife's maiden name.
Is it?
No, Todd was.
All right, Toddy Bridge. Bill, thanks for calling. You know what, though? We haven't got... Are we allowed to give away promotional CDs as prizes?
You can't give Bill those CDs. They're rubbish.
Yes, some of them are quite good. Well, all the good ones that I put in my
bag.
Yeah,
you've nicked all the good ones.
What can we give him? We can. As Anthony says, we can.
Yeah, but I'm saying that we shouldn't because there are
because
no good
I
ones
want
there.
Them.
Listen, Bill just nailed a really obscure...
There are good ones. You don't know about because I stole them.
Oh, okay.
Beastie Boys' Greatest Hits. Bill, shout if you want something. New Order, the singles.
New Order would be good.
Yeah, there you go. There we go. Happy. Is that enough?
Yeah, it's great. Well, whatever. Yeah, check something else.
Yeah. I tell you what, look, there's,
Can I have yours, Graves?
Yes! No one's ever asked that before.
That's brilliant, yes.
We spend hours on them as well.
We just got an email from someone saying, I worked on your surf, ad. I was at the advertising agency, and we got fired afterwards. They lost the, account because of our surf ad.
Well done calling in, Bill. Thanks for listening. And I'm going to send you, New Order the singles, plus a packet of promotional New Order postcards.
And we'll sign it. We'll sign it as well for you.
We'll sign them and make it valueless.
Good times, as JLC might say. Thanks very much, for calling in. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. We'll be back after this. XFM. That's Athlete. I wasn't worried about it or anything, it's just, I was thinking about it.
Was that Half Light? The second single from the Deptford Quartet's platinum second album, Tourist, and the follow-up to their single, Wires, which went top five in January?
Yes, it was, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
This is Adam and Joe on XFM. Now, Adam, are you excited about the sequel to Zorro?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's it called?
Zorro 2? Morrow?
Zorro... No, what is it called?
I don't know.
Because it's interesting to see that Zorro, they've done a promotional tie-in, which they often do in these films, but they don't... It'd be nice if they sort of thought about the film and chose something apt to do a promotional tie-in with.
Well, what's the tie-in for this one?
I think it's a Peugeot. A silver Peugeot hatchback. I just can't see Zorro arriving on the scene in a silver Peugeot hatchback.
I think I can.
Can you?
Yeah, I think...
If a small Mexican town is under attack... From who would attack a small Mexican town? Bandits.
English businessmen.
Beep beep. Hello, Zorro in his Peugeot.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
Well,
it would have been better if he'd sponsored a razor.
He
could have gone and done a Z in someone's stubble.
Yeah, Wilkinson saw missing a trick.
If he just scratched up the Peugeot with his sword, that's what kids do these days, isn't it? Key them.
You don't want to encourage that.
I'm not encouraging it. I'm just saying it would have been a better thing for Zorro to do. Similarly, War of the Worlds had a tie-in with Hitachi flat-screen plasma televisions. Don't know if you'd be doing a lot of television watching in your basement while you were hiding from alien tendrils.
You might be checking to see if the coast was clear or what the news was about the alien
and
attack.
And you'd want it clear, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd want a good picture.
You want a good widescreen
picture.
You'd
want detail, that's true. That's true. That's the end. Of that.
Have you seen the Zorro sequel?
No, I hate Zorro.
Did you see the first one?
I think he should be put to death. What? Yes, I did. And I'm angry about it. The first Zorro came out when DVD had just started, so I think a lot of people bought it simply because it was on DVD.
That's
or watched
right.
It just because it was on DVD. It
seemed like an exciting new release.
Rubbish.
Hey, you know what? The best thing in my life that's happened recently is that the shop where I usually buy my grotesquely overpriced import DVDs...
It's closed, hasn't it?
Closed.
So some of our listeners might buy them there. It's in the basement of a shop in Shaftesbury Avenue. Is it Shaftesbury Avenue?
It was,
the Strand?
No, Shaftesbury Avenue it was. Yeah. It was opposite the cinema there, and it was called SRL Laser World or whatever. But anyway, it's closed down, and I'm so pleased. It's like I'm a junkie and my pusher's suddenly been put behind bars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't have to waste all my money on these films that I never watched, because Zorro was one of those. And I automatically just went out and bought anything new that they had, if it looked big and stupid. And it was always
this is another topic for discussion, but DVDs are sort of dying, aren't they?
Are they?
I mean, I don't bother seeing films at the cinema anymore. I just wait for them to be given away with the times. It's only a couple of years, you know?
Yeah.
All that time I wasted on The Last Emperor fell out of the paper.
My mum.
It used to be rubbish films, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, do you remember they did a Jack Nicholson double bill? Did we talk about this before?
I don't remember.
And one of the films was Pritzi's Honour.
That's a good film.
And the other film was Little Shop of Horrors.
That's all right. That's a good double bill.
No, it was made in the '60s, and Jack Nicholson's in it for 2 seconds.
Well, I think you're being a bit picky. My mum turns up with those giveaways. She gets them from the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
And they do loads of films and sort of compilations of easily clearable rock music.
Mm.
And she's constantly wrapping them up and giving them to me like a present.
Oh. Wrapping them? Actually wrapping them?
Well, last weekend was my sister's birthday, and she wrapped a couple of them for my sister.
Well, it must be, if you're of the older generation, it must seem quite amazing that they just give away free films on a silver disc.
Yeah.
What are they going to be giving away when we're, like, in our 60s?
iPods.
A free iPod.
Imagine. My dad was dazzled by the nanopod. We gave my sister a nanopod for her birthday, and my dad couldn't, he sort of more or less, his brain exploded when we
really?
Explained to him what it was. So you could get the entire works of Wagner on this one thing. I said, yeah, you could get more than that. You could fit Wagner and all the other fascist composers that you enjoy. I don't think Wagner was a fascist himself, but he was championed by the Nazis, of course. And my dad just couldn't believe it. And he just said, well, there you go. I mean, how can you not believe in God? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, what's easier to believe? That God exists, or that they can get all that music on this tiny little player? And
I believe in Jobs.
In what?
Not God's Jobs.
Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. But there you go. It was an interesting philosophical discussion.
Wow. It's a frightening thought, isn't it? That's going to be the thing I'm saddest about when I'm on my deathbed.
What, you haven't got a nanopod?
Just the latest technology. Doctor, keep me alive. The Xbox 980 comes out next week. Please. I have to see the graphics.
There you go. Well, it's almost time for Ditties in the Dock. Have we sorted out what we're going
to
do yet?
Yes, we have sorted it out. And just to keep people listening, we're going to be giving away Paul Weller's Stanley Road in a deluxe edition for everybody who gets on the air with Ditties in the Dock. And it's one of those big double CD things with all the, you know, offcuts and demos and stuff. So that's a pretty great prize.
Yeah.
The number's going to be 0871 221 1049. We'll tell you what the theme to Ditties in the Dock is quite soon.
Yeah. First, we're going to swerve off the playlist again. This is The Cars.
You know, we were just talking about iPods and stuff.
Yeah.
And people being dazzled by technology. Did you read all the stuff? And I don't know whether any listeners saw this, that they have actually now invented paper televisions.
What?
They were talking about this while we were in Tokyo a few years ago. But there was a lot of stuff in the press about it last week.
You're blowing my mind!
Yeah, they can it's to do with LCD. Now that they've got LCD tellies, they can stitch it into paper.
Well, I don't understand.
So basically, apparently within the next couple of years, newspapers are just going to have what looks like a short QuickTime movie on the front. It'll start off quite bad quality, but it'll actually be a little clip that'll rotate.
No.
Yes. Yes, believe it.
I don't understand. Well, the actual paper.
Yeah. And they can stitch it into fabric. Yeah, I think Philips have invented this, or someone like that.
Boy, I was just getting used to all the little glowing lights on the Nanny McPhee adverts on the side of the buses.
Yeah, there you go.
Now I've got to deal with that.
And, Philips have invented it. And they've invented what they call the SMS pillow, that you can send a text message to a pillow. A backpack that has a telly on it. And they can also now put televisions into glass. So, you know, in sci-fi movies, when people live in a horrible dystopic nightmare world,
yeah,
but yet they flick a switch on their window and they get a view of the Grand Canal in Venice,
like in Total Recall.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Good.
It's basically on the cards.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
But what would the implications be for paper televisions? Ideal for pathetic rock bands who want to destroy a hotel room.
Yeah.
Do you like Belle and Sebastian or someone?
Uh-huh.
Just rip it up, throw it out the window, get a new one. Can't think of any other applications, really, can you? Advertising on chef's hats.
I wish I'd had some warning, but that would be, yeah, well, the applications, I mean, it boggles the mind.
Sales of the Sunday Sport Rocket.
Yeah.
Good for tramps to sleep under. Gives them something to watch. Bit of light, bit of luminescence.
The pornographic applications are staggering.
The porno mag industry.
Wow.
Through the roof.
They're going to be rubbing their hands and all the rest of their bits.
Well, it's an all-in-one solution for the porno fan.
Absolutely. Well, let's let people think about that for a moment.
So
play some ads. Don't even...
Yeah.
Yeah. Play some ads and we'll come back with Ditties in the Dock. XFM. Okay, it's Ditties in the Dock time here on XFM.
That was a quite funny advert, the anti-marijuana advert, wasn't it?
The one where the Ganja speaking to him.
Yeah, the Ganja speaking. Isn't there a simple solution to that if you're spending more time with weed than you are with your mates?
Just hang out with some better weed.
Hang out with some mates who smoke weed. Isn't that the solution?
I think.
I don't know.
You're not supposed to say that.
Sorry. Anyway, this is in the dock time. This is the part of the show where you decide which song we play the show out with. Today it's going to be an Elvis Costello playoff.
Yes, and incidentally, I think we should point out that Joe was just joking there, obviously, about that, and he's not advocating drug use in that
way. No, I was commentating on, I don't know, nothing. I didn't say anything.
No. Yeah, Elvis
you
Costello.
You imagined that.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know what I was thinking, I must have been stoned. Elvis Costello, and we're going for early Elvis, right? And it's an early Elvis playoff.
I don't know, is my Elvis early? It's 80s Elvis, my Elvis.
Well, Elvis is still making stuff.
Of course, so I guess that is early, yeah.
So, yeah, we're talking about early to mid-period Costello.
So the number's 0871-222-1049. Everybody who calls and gets on air wins a copy of Stanley Rhode, the deluxe edition, the Paul Weller album. You know, if you like that, you'll be very excited. If you don't, you can give it to someone who does like it.
It's a classic album.
Be your friend forever.
It's almost Christmas anyway. You can give it away to your mum.
So I'll start. I'm going to go for Every Day I Write the Book, which is Elvis Costello's... I think it was off Punch the Clock, wasn't it? I think.
You're a bigger Costello fan than I am, probably. I like all his singles and stuff, but I haven't got many of his albums.
Yeah, that was... I got into him in the mid-80s, I'm afraid to say, so it's kind of... Probably for a Costello hardcore fan, it's maybe not one of his most brilliant songs, but for an 80s idiot like me, I like it. It's overproduced, it's got a silly story, and it's a sort of unlikely thing to write a song about, you know, a novelist, an author.
Uh-huh.
If it is about that. I haven't really listened to it properly. So there we go.
Well,
if you want to get
it.
Thanks. Every day I do what? Write the book. Then call 0871-222-1049. What's yours, Ad?
I'm going to go for Accidents Will Happen. Just because that's my favourite Elvis Costello song, I suppose.
What and film does one of the characters sing an excerpt from that in?
E.T.
Correct.
So, I believe.
A trivia question, yeah. Yes. Elliot's older brother.
That's brilliant. Right, and he's going to the fridge and he's sort of singing to himself.
Yeah.
So many people you can check upon and add to your collection, but they keep... Which is the best line in the song. And then that's just before he closes the fridge door and sees E.T. for the first time. Is that right?
I think so. I think he does. It's during that sequence when no one's seeing E.T.
Yeah.
Everyone's avoiding him. Anyway,
haven't
good
seen
choice.
That song for a long time. Anyway, yes, so I'm going to go for Accidents Will Happen. Elvis Costello, if you want to vote for that one. 0871-222-1049. Or Joe is going for...
Every Day I Write the Book. 0871-222-1049. As we say, everyone who gets on wins a copy of Paul Weller's remastered deluxe edition of Stanley Rhode.
So get calling now. Here's the editors. Oh, there you go. That was the editors. And, what was it called? I threw away my thing. Phil!
It's called Bullets. And of course, it's a re-recording of the Birmingham Bass Quartet's debut single, originally released in January, taken from their debut album, The Black Room, follow-up to Blood, which went top 20 in July. Lucky I know all about that. It is in the dock time, the time when you, the listeners, get to choose which record we play the show out with. It's an Elvis Costello playoff. Accidents Will Happen versus Every Day I Write the Book. A couple of classic Costello tracks. We've got five callers on the line. Everybody who gets through wins a copy of digitally remastered... What? Digitally remastered, is it? Don't know. Anyway, it's the deluxe edition of Paul Weller's Stanley Rhode. So who have we got on line one, Xanthi? We've got Paul. Hello, Paul.
Paul. Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Does anyone ever call you Paul?
Only very close friends.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad we've called you it then. And what are you voting for, Paul?
Accidents, please.
Yeah. Are you a Costello fan, Paul?
Only marginally. Pretty much the same. Lots of singles and stuff like that. But I think Accidents is a more sort of moody. Write the Book was very much like Paul Weller when he joined the Style Council, you know, I was on the Style Council.
Hey, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say?
I don't know, it's a bit cop out.
A bit cop out?
I agree with you, Paul.
What are you talking
about?
Thanks
very much for your vote. That's one for Accidents Will Happen.
Well, I can tell this is going to go badly for me.
It's the Soul Boy thing. You're a Soul Boy at heart.
My crappy 80s tastes.
And I like the more pop thing going on. Who have we got on line two, Xanthi?
Catherine,
hello.
Hello there.
How you doing?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good. What are you up to this afternoon?
I'm going down to Brighton to watch a friend who's got a short film showing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How short is it, the short film?
I don't know, actually. I think it's probably about 15 minutes.
Oh, that's okay. That sounds good.
There's more than one being shown.
Is it a festival or something down there?
I think so. I don't really know very much about it. I just know that his film's being shown and there's some other films being shown and BBC Three. got something to do with it.
Oh, right. Yes, I might well be presenting that, I think, next week.
Oh, really?
New Filmmakers Awards, yeah. I present that every year in Bristol. That's exciting, isn't it?
Fantastic.
Anyway, so who are you voting for?
I would like Every Day I Write the Book, please.
Hey, oh. Well done.
Yes.
It's a good song, isn't it? Isn't it?
It's a very good song. It's on the soundtrack for The Wedding Singer as well.
Oh, don't tell anybody that. No one will vote
for it. So, yeah, it's a good soundtrack. Thanks for your call, Catherine.
Yeah, thanks for calling you, and you win that Paul Weller CD, of course. Who else have we got, Xanthi? It's one all now.
Hello, Kate.
Hiya.
How you doing?
Not bad, thank you.
Good, good. Who are you voting for?
Accidents Will Happen.
Yeah, come on. It's a great one, isn't it?
It is.
It's just that beginning is so amazing. Oh, I just don't... And I'm not really helping things. But thanks very much indeed for your vote. And let's go on to... Oh, I'm excited now.
It's 2-1. It's 2-1. I've got to get this one. Who is it, Xanthi? Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello.
Phil, what are you voting for? Just put me out of my misery.
I'm going to go for Accidents Will Happen.
Oh, what? He takes it.
So it's over for Cornish.
It's over for Cornish. Thanks for
that
your call,
Phil.
That means
we only give away 3 Paul Weller singles.
Well, we could take the next one anyway and just see what they were going
to
go
for. We could give the other
for.
One to the nice man that called in earlier in the show and we didn't have a prize for it.
That's true.
I've just got the order as
duty
well.
Man. Oh, I don't know. Well, we could take the next caller anyway.
We've got Kate.
Go on.
Another Kate. Hey, Kate.
Hello, how you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, good.
Kate, what were you going to vote for?
Accidents Will Happen.
There you go.
Is it a complete walkover?
Total
did we have
walkover.
Another call, Xanthi?
We had loads and they were all...
They were all for Accidents Will Happen.
No one likes Every Day I Write the Book,
man. No one likes me.
You're insane. Lots of people like you. I like you.
Hey,
I
don't. You don't have to answer that seriously, as if like it's a real problem.
I know it is a real problem.
Is it? God.
But thanks very much for your call, Kate, and thanks to everyone who called in, and thanks for listening to the show. Justin Lee Collins is coming up. Is he happy?
Yeah.
He's not like off hosting some new frightening program for Channel 4 somewhere. No, he's here, and he's going to be with you very shortly.
So
and,
we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And calling, and emailing, and texting.
And all that. We love you, bye!
Bye.
Here's Elvis.
Oh, I just don't know where to begin. Though it says I'll meet forever. It's now or never, but she keeps on hanging on. The silver chamber on. She says she can't go home without a chaperone. Sweat, smoke, mercury, but they keep you hanging on. They say you're so young. Your mind is made up, but your mouth is undone. Accidents will happen, you're over your run. Used to be a victim, now you're not the only one. Accidents will happen, you're over your run. I don't wanna hear it, cause I know how to play.